Welcome to Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news, trends, and hottest topics that focus on advances in cybersecurity and cyber industry economics. Our expert yet down-to-earth hosts make cybersecurity straightforward. They ask the tough questions and make this challenging topic something that everyone can understand. Our candid approach lets guests open up on topics we would all like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at newcyberfrontier.com. That's www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join today's host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Welcome everybody to the New Cyber Frontier. This is Sean Murray. I'll be your host this afternoon. We've got a special guest all the way from Solutions for Less. Bob Hereford is the president and CEO. Welcome, Bob.
Well, thank you, Sean.
We've been trying to get this on the schedule here for a while. I appreciate you taking some time out. I know you guys are super busy.
Yeah, it's definitely that time of year in the federal space.
Yeah, it really is. You know, and you've had lots of contributions over the years. What I'd love to do is start out. Could you give us a background? What's your background? Where do you come from, and how do you get to where you're at today?
Well, I hail from the highest unified city in Colorado, Leadville.
Okay.
That's a city with a post office.
Okay.
And joined the Air Force right out of high school. Spent 20 years. What a great time to spend, you know, serving our country. I had combat tours because of the, you know, different jobs I had, and
sure.
I'm extremely proud of the men and women of our armed forces.
Yeah, it's great. Thank you for your service.
I left the Air Force and joined Oracle. I was there for 18 and a half years. And I learned a ton while I was there. I took some classes and became a certified Oracle Solutions Architect.
Wow.
That'll come up here after the time where I leave Oracle. Started off like many people in tech support, and then quickly moved to applications IT, and then GIT, where we were just, you know, trying to make sure the infrastructure of Oracle was safe and secure and all up and running, all the data centers and such. Left there, we started a new program called the Platinum Enablement Program. That was for when Oracle bought Sun. They did a bunch of work on the high-end servers. And so the SuperCluster, the Exadata, Exalogic servers, they're monsters. And they're very much at, you know, the enterprise level of for businesses. And so what we did is we developed this x86 box that had this code on it that would actually go out, ping the server, run some health checks on it, and if something was wrong, let's say a fan or whatever, it would come back to back into Oracle. It would order the fan, dispatch a technician, and before the customer even knew what had happened, that fan was replaced.
Yeah, isn't that awesome?
That's technology today. You know, I think we're just barely scratched the surface of technology. So it is exciting. I left Oracle after my last 7 years. I was in sales, and you know, don't get me wrong. I'm so appreciative of Oracle and everything they did for me, all the training. I had some great supervisors, and like any place else, I had some that weren't so great. But you know, it was a great place to start. I left and really thought I was just going to retire. Right, I had my retired Air Force pay, and I'm disabled, so I got my VA pay, and had a great 401k from Oracle, and I'm like, I what do I need to do? I don't need to do anything. I'm just gonna, you know, I'm.
That's not the way we're programmed.
Yeah, no. So that didn't work very well, and I got a guy from Boeing that I knew from, you know, my time in sales in the Air Force reached out to me and said, we're going after a large RFP and we need an Oracle architect. And I said, well, you got to be careful because I'm not really an Oracle architect. I'm an Oracle solutions architect. That means I put the solution together. I'm not the hands on the keyboard person per se.
That makes sense.
I can't do that, but that's not my really my forte. And he said, no, Bob, that's exactly what we need. So the long and short of it is we won a contract with the Qatari military. We had Oracle had initially priced it out at $162 million, and when I got done with it, we were down to $92
million. That's a big cost savings.
That's a cost savings, and that's really what we're about. Of course, Oracle wasn't very happy with that, but the client, who is the most important thing, was extremely happy.
Sure.
So I started I just fell into the solutions for less. My wife had a business and she didn't really have a name or anything. She said, well, can we start, higher education work that she was doing inside of it? I said, sure, why not? So we made some great contacts. We did some PeopleSoft Campus Solutions implementations. Did a search and found a product for what they call clock hour. You know, that's more of the schools that the barber schools and the cosmetologies and trade schools and those kind of things. So yeah, we'll get on with what we've come to at this point right after our break.
All right, that's that time. So Sean Murray speaking with Bob Hereford, President and CEO for Solutions for Less. We'll be right back after this message.
Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
Welcome back. Sean Murray, New Cyber Frontier. We're speaking right now with the President and CEO of Solutions for Less, Bob Hereford. He was giving us a little bit about his background and, growing up through Oracle, through the Air Force, then to Oracle. Left there, went to Boeing, and made some great contributions there. And now we're up to Solutions for Less. You couldn't quite retire.
No, I guess it's just that, type A personality, and I just couldn't, sit home or even go camp. We went camping quite a bit. And, it's great, but it's like, where's my laptop? So, big data was always part of something that I really enjoyed, even at Oracle, standing up the Oracle database, standing up the application tiers and getting the data warehouse up and running. It was always very exciting to do that, but it was an extremely long process. If you're starting from scratch and then you're bringing in data, you could be looking at 2+ years very easily. But that's the way everybody does it. I mean, IBM, it's the same basically technology. IBM does that, MicroStrategy, Tableau. They're all great products. They really are that for the technology. But we, after doing some really in-depth searching for, is there something else? One of the things I learned at Oracle was remember the 1% rule. Right? You can think you know everything there is to know about a particular topic, but there's always that
1%. Right.
Right. Well, that's the kind of things that we look for, is those not bleeding edge technology, right? That's a little scary for companies.
Sure.
But the emerging technologies. And we found one in a product called Encorda. And it is a data warehouse BI solution with none of the heavyweight bolt-on applications that you have to have for just about everything else.
Okay.
So no ETLs, extract, transition, load. That's how you move data from production into your data warehouse. No data modeling, which is a huge, very intensive, labor-intensive task. No separate BI tool. It's already built in. No separate data cleansing tool. That's already built in. No extra predictive analytics tool, because that's already built in.
It's all automated.
It's all automated. And it all runs extremely fast. I mean, We've got a pretty decent system in our office. It's three Dell PowerEdge servers in a rack, and one of them's a little more beefy than the others, but we're running PeopleSoft on it, and I put this Encorda on it, and my sole intent when I put it on there was to break it and give it back to them.
Okay. How'd that work out?
Well, I've got one query that has 72 joins. Now, if anybody out there is like, oh my God, no way, that's exactly what I said when I started this.
Okay.
72 joins, and I'm getting sub-second responses.
Really?
Yeah.
How is that accomplished?
Well, they part of it is the IP part. Of course, I can't talk about that, but it's called direct data mapping. So we directly map the data from production into Encorda with this direct data mapping tool. Now, how it sits in Encorda, that's public information, and it sits in Java Parquet. So inside of Encorda, you've got these Java Parquet, which is kind of a columnar type of data warehouse, and then we have sitting on top of that a NoSQL database. That's really the key for how this thing works and how it works so fast. Is yes, we bring in data in a SQL format, but we live the data compressed about 3 to 10x depending on the data, and we can push that data back out literally in sub-seconds.
Wow.
We have a video out on Venmo. If you go to Google or whatever your favorite search engine is and you type Encorda in 90 seconds, what you'll see is it's there. I wish there was some voice over on it, but that's not what they did.
Okay.
But what you see is Encorda, it's already stood up, which literally takes less than 2 hours. I mean, if everything's right, all the ports are open, you can get this installed in about 5 minutes.
Okay.
And it's really almost a point and click, like a Microsoft product. I mean, it's just so easy to install.
All right, so who are your users here?
Oh my gosh. Well, let's start with the very first client. That was Apple. And then we can move on to Starbucks International, Broadcom, a dozen or so credit unions. One of the most interesting clients and best clients, I'd say maybe one of the best, is Northern Trust. For those of you who may not know, go Google Northern Trust. What you're going to find is they are the bank of banks.
Sure.
And the problem they were looking to solve is fraud detection. And so because of the speed of Encorda, because of the billions and billions of rows that it can handle and still not choke on, it works extremely well for fraud protection.
So just to reemphasize here, what we're talking about is not mom and pop IT. We're talking about big data here, right?
We are talking about big data. We're talking about, you know, enterprise companies. Our focus, now while we don't turn away commercial accounts at all, but our focus is inside of the federal government. And those either are two kind of anecdotal stories that I always like to tell. So one is we went out to the U.S. Navy, the NAVSUP. That's their supply chain. So everything the Navy buys comes through NAVSUP. So you can imagine what, you know, just put your thinking hat on and imagine how big that organization is. They, public information, they had a industry day. That's typically when government's looking for, you know, the technology that's out there, and that they don't know what's all everything that's out there. They're focused on doing their mission as they should be. So they hosted an industry day, and I won't say who came other than us. We came, but I will tell you it was 18 companies, and I will tell you it was all the traditional companies that, you know, you might think of in the data warehouse area.
Sure.
And when the dust settled, we were the only one left. So we were kind of the last man standing.
Well, that's great. We're going to come back and we're going to talk to further our conversation with Bob Hereford, President and CEO for Solutions for Less, right after this break. Security Services are your cybersecurity experts with decades of experience providing professional training services for our clients in various industries. We offer professional training and certification in areas of cybersecurity, safety, health, and environmental services at our academy. Our in-person and online training provides a collaborative environment where students can interact directly with instructors through live chats or in private classrooms. Visit MurraySecurityServices.com for more information. Welcome back to the New Cyber Frontier. I'm Sean Murray, your host for this afternoon's presentation with Bob Hereford, President and CEO for Solutions for Less. We're talking about big data and you know, the new unique intellectual property built into your product, capitalizing on all those years of experience with Oracle, you know, working on other projects. It seems like this contribution that you've got with your product set, you know, with these big large companies producing massive amounts of data, what is it? What are the additional contributions that Solutions for Less is providing?
Well, we have recently developed an Oracle License Management Workbench. When you purchase Oracle, any product, you get what's called a support identifier number, right? It's a 7 to 9 digit long numeric number that you use to log into My Oracle Support and, you know, log your service requests, search for knowledge, download patches, a whole bunch of other things that that application does. Well, when you go to log a service request, here comes the kind of the first challenge. You'll go in and you'll do a pull down for the products that you own, and it'll say owned products. So you log a service request against that, everything's fine and good. But there's another button there that says all products. So you start logging SRs against products that you're not licensed for, and that is one of the triggers for an audit. Now, you can do it a few times. You do it, you know, depending on the size of the company, you might do it 15 or 20 times, and nobody will say, you know, nobody in Oracle Legal or those people up that do that kind of thing, nobody will say anything. But almost every company is certainly susceptible to an Oracle audit. If you've bought Oracle, your licensing agreement says that Oracle could come in at any time.
And what are they auditing?
Well, they're really looking at two things. I would say primarily it's licenses. So did you download Oracle products that you didn't purchase, which again, it's fine if you're using them, as long as you're not using them in production.
Sure.
Are you using those in production, meaning you don't have a license for that given product? That's kind of one part. The bigger part of it is you bought an Oracle product, and when you bought it, you had a number of assigned users, right?
Okay.
Or you had a number of cores. That's the way Oracle typically sells its products. We'll stay on the user one because the cores work very similar, but on the user one, say you bought a license for the database, Oracle Enterprise database.
Okay.
And you bought 200 licenses. Well, they come in and they do an audit and they see that you have 350 users. Well, that's a problem. And so, you know, what the kind of the strategy on the Oracle side is to say, well, you know, you bought 200, but you're using 150, so you're 150 over. So if we, you know, the mainstream part of it, or what they'll do is they'll say, okay, from the beginning of the license, you now have to pay for 350 plus you pay a fine. But they will also say, but, you know, it's like, but just one more product. What we can do is put you on a ULA, a Universal Licensing Agreement, and cover the loss and cover the fine. And the bottom line, though, is when you get done with that, you're still spending a lot of money. What our product does, all three of those issues, the two issues on the licensing, the issue on the service request, our product gives, what it does is it just what data is supposed to do. It provides actionable information on your Oracle licensing to whoever is responsible for your Oracle licensing within your organization.
Okay.
We just did this for one organization that is up for an Oracle audit, and they were absolutely amazed at what we found. The nice thing about it is it sits on a product that's already in Oracle, so it's relatively inexpensive because you don't have to have the base of a database or a base of a product.
Okay.
For those out there that are, you know a little bit about Oracle, it sits on what's called Apex, which is kind of a query tool that comes with every Oracle database.
Okay.
Moving away kind of from the big data part, we do ERP systems. So, you know, your GL, your AR, your AP, your finance, could be manufacturing. And we really like two applications that fit most companies. One is PeopleSoft. And you ask, well, Bob, why PeopleSoft? You know, there's SAP out there. There's dozens and dozens of other ERP systems.
Sure.
PeopleSoft is the only ERP system that I know that comes wrapped with 60 separate applications. So you need to do an integration between PeopleSoft and some other, you know, product. Instead of just a direct bolt-on, it has an application integrator.
Okay.
So it's all called people tools, and Oracle has invested just recently about $30 billion into PeopleSoft.
Wow.
So they've made a huge commitment. They've really improved the application, although it's been from its inception, even before Oracle owned it was a very amazing application.
Okay.
Now, for, and I don't want to get this, you know, that this is already in the kind of the marketplace, that NetSuite is only meant for medium to small businesses. And that's just not true. It's certainly the way it was positioned in the market when it was first purchased by Oracle, but the application is extremely powerful.
Okay.
And we've replaced several other ERP systems with NetSuite. Their customers are saving money. They've got a lot better application. The visualization of the application is the folks at Oracle have done a bang-up job on this NetSuite application. And it goes all the way down to like 4 or 5 users.
Wow.
So, you know, you can, you know, if you are a small business and you need an ERP system, NetSuite is certainly one that I would recommend. What you do have to be careful about is DECA compliance. So if you're looking for that, we can certainly, you know, help you with that, whether you're using QuickBooks. We did have one client come to us that was running QuickBooks Online and was told, she said, by QuickBooks that they could make it DECA compliant. And that's just not the case.
Okay.
If you have QuickBooks Enterprise, then with a couple of other bolt-on applications, yes, you can have a DECA compliant application. And we've done that once for a client, just because they were on QuickBooks Online, which is where a lot of people start, right? But if you're going to move into government, into the government contracting, there's lots and lots, of course, things you need to know, right?
Rules.
There's a lot of rules. But if you're not DECA compliant and you're not NIST 800-171 compliant, it's not happening right now, but there is coming a time, and I don't think it's long into the future, where small business, if you're not 800-171 compliant, you won't be able to bid.
Yeah, and you know, we see this in the FAR and the DFAR clauses now, that it's mandatory. It's part of the contract. The other thing that we're seeing earlier this year, or late last year, and now moving forward, is the new cybersecurity maturity model, which says, well, you no longer will you be self attesting to your cybersecurity hygiene and maturity level. We're actually putting together a framework where you will have to comply. We'll have a third-party assessor, a 3PAO, I think they're saying,
yep,
is to come out. And what are you guys doing to position for that?
So what we like about the 800-171 is that's kind of a stepping stone to CMMC level 3.
It's a good point, because they're not the same thing, but they're very similar.
Right. So, but it gives you the stepping stones that you need. And really, all of the templates are, if you do some searching, the templates are out there for you to fill out. Now, I will tell you, we're a little more than a quarter way, 4 months what it's taken us. Now,
and how many people contributing?
2.
Yeah, so you know, small business, right?
Yeah, we're small business.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're a small business with an enterprise footprint.
And so it just brings it back into perspective, the level of effort it takes to do it, but to do it right.
Exactly. But we are pressing on with that. And, you know, certainly we've learned some lessons. And, Sean, we've got some help from you. Thank you very much. But, yeah, it's you're going to have to, you know, as a small business owner, I don't think it's a good idea for you to just turn this over to somebody else, right? You need a, you know, if you're not cyber savvy at all, you need a consultant at some level, but don't turn it over, because well, all you'll have is a program that you don't know anything about.
And it's difficult to manage. So you're right. It should be an approach, and this is what we preach. It should be a collaborative approach that both the business and the service provider are working together so that they understand where they're at, where the gaps are, how to get there. And then back to your point about don't just hire anybody. So I preach this, this is why we have the Better Business Bureau. This is why we have chambers of commerce. This is why we have the SBDCs, the small business development centers. Go to these credible resources when you're looking for those service providers, because that's where you're going to find credible relationships with those entities. And instead of trying to figure it out on your own, especially if you're not in this space, if you're in a different industry, it's going to be difficult. If you produce widgets for the DoD, that's what your expertise in. Let a reputable company come in and help you out. It is that time. We very quickly have come to the end of the program, and I want to thank you again. I know we've been trying to juggle schedules to get you guys in here, but any parting thoughts, Bob? Where are we? Where are we going?
In industry, I see really two threads that are going to be instrumental in the next 10 to 15 years. One of those is cyber, and we have to learn to protect our data, protect our networks, protect our people. And we've got to even protect our data from people inside of our own organizations at times. The other thing I think I see is the explosion of big data back in the 2000s. We're just scratching the surface of that.
Yeah.
So I, watch for emerging technologies that come along that do something in that data lake, data mart, data warehouse type area, because I think we're going to see huge cost savings. We're going to start to see companies that demand faster and more reliable data.
I think those are great points, and we appreciate your contribution in that realm. There's not a lot of people, especially for a small business, that are contributing at the big data level. And so it's been great having you on the show. Sean Murray, New Cyber Frontier. We've been talking to Bob Hereford, President and CEO for Solutions for Less. Thanks again for coming on the show, Bob.
Thank you, Sean. What a great deal. And, we should set up another time. I'd love to come back and, we could sit here and talk for a day.
Yeah, and you've got lots more contributions to make. So thank you, everybody. That's it for this edition of the New Cyber Frontier.
Thank you for listening to New Cyber Frontier. Remember to follow or like our post and circulate each new show to your networks. We keep you informed, bring you the latest news, explore new trends, and find the hottest topics. With New Cyber Frontier, you don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert. Just get plugged in. We encourage you to get involved. Tell us what topics interest you and join our mailing lists. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. That's newcyberfrontier.com. Check out our previous interviews and please let us know if there are any topics that you would like to hear discussed. See you next time on New Cyber Frontier.